Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. To Queen Vi's Reality Talk, I am your host, Queen Vi, alongside my co-host, Mr. Hakim Nuba.
Hey, 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 Peace Queen, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Maintaining and ain't going to be doing no complaining. I'm here.
Okie dokie. I hear that. I hope everybody else is having a good day. For some people, one day away from their weekend starting, and then it's us. But I'm going to take a day off next week. I told them I've been working 7 days a week for like the past 3 or 4 weeks. So I told them I need one day next weekend. And that's it. But I'm ready. I'm here. It's Therapy Thursday, everybody. And we talking about Black Minds Matter. You know, we're going to be discussing the importance of mental health in the Black community. And we're also going to address some behavior issues that may be related to some mental health concerns. You can always call in at 929-477-1436. And don't forget to press 1 on your telephone keypad to speak to me and Hakim.
Yes, ma'am.
Where we're due, we're overdue for a mental health show. The importance of mental health. I want to start off by saying we have an issue within our community where people are not seeking the proper mental health that they should, with fear of being judged or that quote unquote stupid saying, oh, you know, that's for white people. That's, you know, remember at one point in time, our people wasn't going to see psychiatrists and going to therapy, you know, and talking about things that's going on with them. So now I'm glad that people are more open-minded to it, but at one point in time, it just wasn't happening. When something was wrong, and granted, you do have to know how to deal with certain things at home, but sometimes you need help on a professional level, or you need to talk to someone that's, you know, impartial, where they don't know you or the person you're having issues with, so they can come from a professional standpoint and actually listen to what you have to say without already coming in, you know, having whatever prejudgment for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just think about it. If you're having an issue with your mom and you go to sit and have a conversation, well, I mean, this is not for everybody because I have a pretty open flow of communication with my kids where, you know, we talk about everything because I want them to be aware of stuff and I want them to be able to express themselves. That's always been a big thing in my household. You know, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You know, if you have some type of feeling about something, you can express it, but take that moment to get your thoughts and stuff together so you can make sure you know what you're feeling. So you come talk to me, I can get an understanding of what you're feeling and vice versa because we've thought it out. But when you have certain conversations at certain times where all the emotion is still raw and everything, it don't play out too good because people are, you're coming from a place of hurt or if you feel disrespected or you feel, you know, if everything's so raw and you're angry in that moment, now both people just trying to get their point across. So, but I do believe it's, you know, I used to go see a therapist when I did when it was a big change in my family when I lived in Pennsylvania and I moved back to Jersey. And when I moved to Pennsylvania, I took my kids to go to counseling for two reasons. For one, adults don't understand when they go through changes, especially in a household, their kids feel it. So I took them because I said, okay, the first time I took them, I said, okay, we doing this move. Now we're moving away from everything they know and everybody. Even though my reasons may be valid, this is still their lives too. So now it's time for them to go somewhere where they can express themselves and learn and figure out how to express themselves to me so they can, you know, so we can have that communication and we can have that understanding. And the other reason is I want them to know it is okay. So when they do get older, it's not foreign to them. You know, they're not afraid to go get some type of talk to somebody for their mental health benefit. So, yeah. And that's oftentimes is what the issue is the communication. You know? So, you don't want a child to feel like they don't have a voice, whether it's in their life or in their homes. And a lot of things that we do as adults come from what was instilled in us when we were children. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I just jumped right in, right?
No, it's just a good way to kick it off because you covered a lot of info and it's important to have communications, especially when we're dealing with something as invisible as mental illness or depression problems or emotional problems that affect the mind, that kind of thing. Because you have to wait for some kind of, you know, trigger, or you have to wait for some kind of, some telltale sign to even know that something's wrong with a person. Some people are very adept at hiding what they're truly feeling, and they're completely okay with dealing with things on their own, toughing it out, working, you know, but what they don't understand, they're slowly eating away at themselves. There's it becomes problematic eventually. You can't hold it all in forever. You've got to find some kind of way to vent it out, get some help, like you said, or talk to a family member, talk to your priest, your minister, your imam, or whatever you got going on. But it's too scary nowadays for folks to be dealing with that kind of issue and not get help, or at least not have a good support system. You know, especially our people, we're dealing with anxiety on so many levels, and some of us don't even know that it's anxiety. You know, we have to worry about too many things. How are we going to pay our bills? We hadn't heard about our job closing down. We don't have a job. We got to find a job. But there ain't enough jobs in our location, so we got to travel three buses, which costs you money. Then, oh, man, and the cops is harassing. We got to stop and frisk. So we're worried about if the cop going to pull me over or if the cop going to stop me while I'm walking down the street. Then I got to worry about my kids getting pulled over and stopped on the street. Then I got to worry about the gun violence and the bills and the lack of food. And the, you know, there's always something to worry about. You know, but one of the things I wanted us to do today is let's try to help each other with some de-stress and some venting, some release, you know, because we have to help ourselves. Because as you can see, there's no one coming to help us. There is no magic man's going to fly in and smack in your ass cheeks and then all your problems go away. It don't work that way. Quint, how, from your perspective, how important is it to have that support system?
Well, the worst thing someone can do is be going through something and feel alone. That's first and foremost. Bottling everything up. So, I mean, you have to have that one person that you can talk to and vent to. And when I say talk to or vent to, I mean that person understands that at some point you may just need them to listen, not chime in, not play devil's advocate, not, you know, let you know what they feel and what they do. Sometimes you need someone that's just going to listen. Also, you need people to be able to know when you're not okay, even at a point where you might think that you're somewhat okay. And I say this because oftentimes, and I am guilty of it, sometimes you're just busy. You're running. You're doing so much stuff that somebody has to be there to be like, okay, slow down. Take a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's not that you don't have things going on. It's just that when you're staying busy, you don't have time to think about it. You don't have time to deal with it. And
mm-hmm.
it's not good because you're running away and you're not making me better because just think about it. You're helping it grow and not in a good way. You're helping it grow to the point where one day it's going to be simply out of your control. So to have a support system, and even if it's one person, even if it's a group of your friends, you know who you can talk to and who you can't talk to, who you can trust and who you can't trust. They have support groups as well. They have support lines. But you need somewhat of a support system. And it has to be someone that could kind of understand you and if or willing to understand what you're going through. You know, because if they think so negative mm-hmm. about the situation, then it's not going to help.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was looking for, because there are some people who listen to this show. I'm not gonna call your name out. I don't want you cursing me out later. But there's a lot of those sisters that we know of. That's why I don't mess with other women. I don't trust women. I only hang out with dudes. So, are you? Sometimes a sisterhood is a good thing. Sometimes having a mindful female friend that can identify with other females could be a benefit. Now, I can't change your mind about how you feel about friends because you had a bunch of bad experiences. So, okay, cool. But a sister who's struggling from postpartum depression, being friends with a sister who's recovered and made it through the other side of postpartum depression, can connect.
Mm-hmm.
The average man couldn't tell you two things about postpartum depression. So now for him to be an effective friend to catch you, to be that safety net for you, you have to train him on what to look out for. So how many of you are going to sit there and tell your male friend, hey, just so this so you know, I need you to look out for boom, 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 boom. Because guess what? After you got something going on, don't even know you got it on. So how are you going to train him to help you?
Mm-hmm.
He can have a conversation with you, can be there for you. But How do you know? If you're a man and never been around it, you never had kids, so the woman you were with never experienced it. Your mama never experienced it. So if you don't know, you don't know. So a sisterhood is an important thing to have, because sisters can help other sisters in ways that a man can't. You know what I mean? Because let's be honest, most of all, she on her period, she tripping, she PMSing, she's doing it. There's always she something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that group of people that surround you, whether it's friends, family, or whoever, should be people who are mindful. That means they're in the present. They're not going to tune you out because you acting funny. Or she acting funny today. No, they're going to go, what's going on, babe? Talk to me. Hey, sis, come on, talk to me. Hey, we're going to go to, I'm on my way. I need to talk to you, find out what's going on with you, because you ain't yourself today. You know, and it's serious. It's serious enough to where we turn on the news all the time and we see some of the craziest stuff because somebody snapped or somebody gave up. That is a real struggle for many of us. And we have to be able to identify with that. And we need a support system in place that is going to be able to pull us out of the fire sometimes, keep us from lighting the fire sometimes, you know, and just be that person that or people. But they say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it also takes a village to heal.
Mm-hmm.
A member of the village. So, you know, I really wanted us to address that, because there's quite a few people who are, you know, who ask that question, and they're really concerned. Okay, now I got a question from my homie Marquita. Shout out to Marquita from Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
First time listener. She saw my post on my Instagram page. Much love.
Welcome.
And Marquita is asking, I'm trying to read this, so work with me, y'all. What role does social media play with dealing with stress and depression and all the many other things that could cause a person's mood swings? I hope I didn't brutalize your question too bad, but you get that, Queen?
I think. The thing with media is... Okay, go ahead.
No, if you got it, go for it.
Okay, and correct me if I'm wrong. The thing is with social media is that there's so many different type of people in the way they deal with things and the way they feel about things. It's this platform where everybody can voice their opinion. So for somebody that's going through something, on one hand, it could be inspirational because somebody can tell their story on Facebook or any type of social media platform. Then on the other hand, when you got somebody that are saying certain posts and stuff and it's hitting home, you know, with somebody, it can do damage. Another thing with social media is sometimes people use that as a platform to cry for help, and it's ignored. So it's going to affect either way, whether it's good or bad, with someone that's dealing with some type of mental health issues, because people all deal with things in different ways. And, you know, but it is, you know, different support groups and stuff like that on Facebook, and possibly a good way to get to know someone that's going through, you know, what you're going through, what you've been through, like how Kim said. It doesn't have to be somebody that lives in your neighborhood. It could be someone that you probably have never would have came across ever in life. And y'all have a mutual situation that bonds y'all together. But yeah, and that's why people don't understand the damage that social media does, especially when you have somebody that has low self-esteem, or somebody that's already on that breaking point, or someone that's going through something and don't know, you know, where to turn at. But it can be very damaging. But that's why people should be able to, and we say it all the time, if somebody puts on social media and you don't like, sometimes you just got to block. Sometimes you just got to remove them, unfriend them, block them, whatever the case may be. Because if something that somebody posts is bothering you to a point, you know, where it's making you feel worse about yourself or having any type of suicidal thoughts or anything like that, then you got to remove yourself from it. Because some people don't know the damage that they're doing. Some people don't care about the damage they're doing. You know, some people, like we said, especially Hakim at the beginning of the show, people have different approach about things. So while this one person may be venting and talking about all the things that's going on and got this, you know, I don't care no more attitude, that may be helping them, but it's doing a complete opposite for you. You know, you have to protect your space, your sanity, you know, who you give and what you give your energy to and what energy you take from others as well. If they're not if they're not for what you're trying to do, if you're trying to heal and that person is not helping you heal, then you got to remove yourself. And it's not always easy. You know, remove some of that negative and add some more positive.
Yeah, social media could definitely play a big role. We got to also remember something. Social media is designed by techies. It is mapped out by people who are in the psychology field, right? These are the, it's done by some of the best people in that particular industry. These are the people who also have utilized the alcohol. The alcohol industry, such as bars, restaurant mapping, everything to layouts for merchandising places like big box stores, little convenience stores.
Mm-hmm.
You ever walk into a bar and wonder why is everything in the same place on almost every bar? It's like a template, right? There's only a couple templates. Some of them, the bar is right in the center. You go around each side. Some of them are up against either the left wall or the right wall. The music is on that direction. The liquor is on that direction. Everything is set up a certain way for a certain purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way when you walk into a supermarket or you walk into a Family Dollar store or a Dollar Tree. You got the end caps there for a reason. You got a bunch of crap at the cash register where the cashier's at for a reason. It is all planned out to either keep you there or spend more money. It's no different with social media. Okay? The most that you may find that they're going to curtail is how much profanity, hate speech, sex, stuff like that, they'll nip tuck. Other than that, it's the Wild Wild West. So if you are in a place of depression and stress, you are going to encounter some crazy ass things because some of the people on there need help themselves. We all got that friend that posts nothing all day but homicides, and they're sharing everything they find on CBS, ABC, and CNN, the most horrific things. This guy got shot. That guy got. That's all they post all day. They're the goddamn, you know, worry police. So if you're down and you're not feeling good, and you turn on, you go on social media, and you see that, you're not going. You're going to feel worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because the general rule of thumb is negativity is viral, but positivity is just, okay, that's nice. And they know this, and they will keep letting the stuff go. So my solution to that is be very, very careful of who you are letting on your friends list. They can find out, in terms of Instagram and Twitter, they can follow you. You just don't have to follow them back. Right? If you notice, you go to some people's Instagram and Twitter pages, they got, oh, man, they got a million followers. But they're only following 150 people. These are people they actually know. They don't want to see your nonsense because they're disciplined, and I only want to have X, Y, and Z coming through my timeline because I don't want nothing messing up my energy. I don't want no bad vibes. I don't want anybody disrupting my peace. That's what I suggest everybody should do. Now, me, I got a three-ring circus on one of my pages. I got everything from prostitutes, pimps, fake pimps anyway, strippers, priests, pastors, imams. I got all kinds of nonsense going on because I'm a weird individual and I like all kinds of nonsense going on. I can handle it. The average person can't. Okay? So it can be a miserable place on social media, but the good news is you are in control of what you see. If someone is making you miserable every time you get on there and you see they posting nothing but garbage, you can mute them. You could hide them on Facebook. They have the hide feature, meaning they're still your friend. You just don't see what's coming through the timeline. You have to physically go to their page, look them up, go to their page to go see what they got going on. It won't come through your timeline.
Yeah,
so,
they did some years ago.
Yeah. I got friends that did that to me back when I was doing my, you know, Nasty King thing. It was too much booty meat flying through there. Look, I can't look, bro. You got too much booty meat.
Yeah, that's
my. I keep liking it. My wife cussing me out, and
she said, "I love you, and I'm not going to friend you, but I gotta unfollow you. You got too many toys and naked men." When I used to do the strip shows, she said,
"I was just about to bring that up." I was just about to. I had at least four friends mute me on Facebook because I'm posting your the stripper dudes you was running around with. You got these old muscular, greasy men all coming through my joint, and you know, some of you women like to click it and comment and whatever, and your boyfriends see it because I may know them, and then they questioning you, and then like, yo, what's going on? So look, I get it. But the bottom line is you have the control.
Mm-hmm.
So social media, you know, to wrap that up, I hate to go long-winded, but it's important because there's a lot of people who are literally harming themselves off of social media. Beefs, taunting, cyberbullying, you know, these little bid groups where they'll someone to go on your page and pull your ugliest picture out. You know your hair wasn't done that day. This fool that took your picture and he put it beside some cartoon character and they busting on you. They clowning you. So you won't feel like crap. Trust me, it ain't fun when 1,000 people are all calling you ugly. So, yeah, it can be a dark place. Just stay away from them places. Let's switch gears, Queen, because I've been dealing with it myself, you know. I struggle with stress and anxiety for pretty much most of my entire life. So help me. What does the Queen recommend that I do to de-stress, to handle my anxiety, to calm my crazy ass down? What do you suggest?
Well, first of all, you got to find something that keeps you at peace, calm, that you enjoy. Because you always got to have a little me time. Some people like to write. Some people do music. Some people paint. Some people draw. Whatever that you do that you enjoy, and it brings you some type of joy like nothing else, then do it. You have to find time to do what makes you happy. So having a hobby is important. It's like therapy. One of my things in therapy is this show, because I get to talk about whatever I want to talk about and say whatever I feel. And, you know, we talk about some personal stuff on this show, too. A lot of the things that we talk about is through personal experience. We don't give the textbook answer, you know, to everything. So having a hobby is very important. Long as it's not in a healthy way. You know, if you want to have a glass of wine and unwind, then do that. You know, with some of y'all that like that extracurricular activities and want to just, you know, puff a little bit, do that. As long as you're not doing anything in a, you know, a harmful way will become, you know, too addicting, you know.
So. I'll go with that. I'll go with that. No, I think.
I know, but some of y'all want
a lot of that.
I know, you know, some of y'all wanted me to say, but it is, I didn't have to say it, but y'all know.
What's that? What was you going to say? Help me, queen.
No, you know that, the MAS, you got to, they was waiting, is just listening. Go on.
Look at that. All the purrs is like, I know they going to say it. Nope, we ain't saying it. See, there you go.
But yeah, I mean, but I think it's important. I mean, because, you know, different things bring people joy, and they might not necessarily, like, for instance, some guys, you know, they get a little stressed and they just want to go shoot some hoops for a little while. It's all right. Because even if it's clearing your mind for a moment, not saying you don't have to deal with those issues, but even sometimes you just need to clear your mind for a moment and be at peace. Because once you could clear your mind, then you can think more rationally about things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the type of person, I let people know. If I feel a way about something, first of all, my face tell it all, even if my mouth don't say it. People think my mouth is bad, my expressions, 10 times worse. They're even getting on me at my down at the census. They be like, you be giving people the look of death. Because when I say do something, do it, you know. I don't care. So, yeah, the managers and everything is saying I got the look of death. But I get stuff done, though. It works out because I get stuff done because the other employees do what I say do. And then if they have an issue, I go to the managers and get it fixed. So it works out both ways. It's helping everyone. But I'm just the type of person is if something happens and I have not yet processed it yet, and that's what's wrong because people need to know how to communicate. If I have not processed it yet and you want to have a conversation about it, I'm going to say I need a moment. Now, you can give me my moment. You can do the right thing. Give me my moment. Let me think about it, process it. So when I come to you, I'm coming from a good place. Or you cannot give me my moment and take whatever come along with that, not having a moment, not having time to process it, calm down, or whatever the case may be. The choice is yours. But
get in smoke gangster
it's in people's
shit.
Best interest to let me have my moment. So I'm a firm believer of not having certain conversations until both people have time to think and process it because, you know,
well,
anything can happen.
I'm glad you brought that up because I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Jojo Reds is asking about conflict resolution. And can we speak on how important it is for us to keep our cool and handle things properly. And she's right. Yeah, she's right. but you touched a lot of, touched base on it. You know, like you were saying, when you have those situations in the workplace, and you do need that moment to breathe. To, you know, some of us can process things a little faster than others, but speak on it a little bit more. How important it is to focus on not how pissed you are, but how important it is to deal with the actual situation.
Okay. I'm going to give you a situation that happened at work today, right? So I have a new girl. She's a couple of weeks new, and I trained her. And someone called the phone because they filled out an application for the census. Well, they started to fill out the application for the census. An older Caucasian lady. And she's calling because she went to the library. She's filling out the application. When she gets to the point where they ask for a social, she doesn't want to do the application anymore. So now when she calls, my coworker answers the phone. You know, greet her and say, how may I help you? And then she's asking, what company am I calling? First of all, you know what number you dial. What company am I calling? She wants to know where is our office located and everything like that. So my coworker is saying it, but my coworker has a heavy accent. She's Spanish and she has a heavy accent. You can understand what she's saying if you pay attention. But this lady is giving her a hard time. So when I look up, because reading body language is important, I look up, I can tell this girl do not know how to handle this phone call. So I said, put it on hold, let me get it. So I answer it. First thing this lady says to me, well, why do you have people working that can't understand English and I can't understand? I'm speaking proper English. So now Queen Va, not in a workplace, would have ripped her a new one. But I said, okay, how may I help you, ma'am? Just to cut all of that right there and then. So then she's like complaining that they want her social. Now this heifer. I said, well, everybody has to put their social in to do the application. She said, well, you know, in the time all this scamming goes, I wanted to tell her nobody want her little crappy ass white life because she's about going on 80, 90 years old still looking for a job. But I didn't say that to her because of the workplace. I said, well, I had to put my social in. Everybody had to put the social. Well, you're dumb. You're a damn fool. I just couldn't. Like, I was just saying in my head, I'm laughing. You know, my psycho laugh before I'm about to go off. But, and it's bad enough. It's only probably like three or four brown people in there, as it is. So they probably waiting for us to blow up and act a fool.
Mm-hmm.
So make a long story short, I have to show my professionalism. Okay, is there anything else I can help you with? Because that's the only how you're going to be able to apply. Now, two things about this story. If I didn't meditate before I went to work this morning, which I did because I had my little breakdown a couple of days ago. So if I didn't meditate before I went to work this morning and practice my woosahs on my lunch break, she would have caught a bad break. Or she would have caught me on my day that I had my little breakdown. It would have been bad. But back to Hakim's point, is you're supposed to be able to see when somebody is not okay. Body language is everything. I looked across, and I just saw her body language and how it was that she was not okay. I even had to take her to the side for a minute, away from everybody, and calm her down. Because now you got this racist, you know, she was, you know, talking about her accent. She don't understand. Like, nobody wants to deal with that in the workplace, nobody wants to deal with that anywhere. Especially when you're working somewhere where you're trying to help people get a job. Because that's all we do when we're at the office. We hire people and we make sure everything is together, you know, while they're working there. So I was able to calm her down, kind of woo-saw. I want to go, you know, because sometimes we take our issues that we have at work and bring it home, or home and bring them to work, which neither one is good. So I wanted to make sure, because it's the end of the day, she's calm. She got five kids at home. I need to make sure she, you know, together and calm down, so not only she can complete her work day, but also go home with a clear mind and not be thinking. Because I don't know what could be going through her head. That lady could have triggered something in her, you know, to then she could have been riding home talking about, you know, people in a work, you know, workplace don't even care. They just letting this lady say whatever she wants to me, that kind of stuff. So I got to make sure I'm not the reason. I want to be the solution. I don't want to be anybody's reason to why they're feeling a type of way or any type of damage to somebody's mental health. Like me?
Well,
that lady just didn't love me. She could have got.
Yeah,
but
it's important.
I didn't realize everybody was listening. I did not realize that it had gotten so cool. You know, that time where something happens, when you don't want anybody here, that's when it get quiet and everybody here. It was like, you handled that very well. You must be feeling good today, because they know how my mouth is. You were the manager, like, you handled that what? I was afraid for that lady. I'm glad he know.
I mean, it's important to hit that pause button and to slow your roll, especially at the workplace, especially when you're around other people, and especially when you're dealing with an irate person, you know. And it's so easy to get caught up in your feelings. This woman called me disrespect. Now, I've been in customer service for 20 years. I love call center environment. I can you put me in an empty room, give me the supplies, the wires, and the tech, I can build you a call center. I love to hear those phones ring. I love to hear angry, pissed off people. You know, I love responding to complaints. Hell, I even love giving refunds. So I vibe off that stuff, because I always keep in mind that every so often I'm that angry customer calling somebody's call center, pitching a bitch and raising hell because I felt someone did something wrong to me. The worst thing that I want someone to tell me is to calm down. So all of you who answer phones, customer service 101, never tell them to calm down. Stay focused on the problem. Get out of your feelings. You're getting paid. This person is pissed about something. Do your job. Stay focused on the problem. And it's not just at work.
Yep. It's sympathetic too.
Yeah. You know, it's not just at work. It's when you're out and about. You have to be okay with something happened and this person's upset with you. You got a choice. And y'all can rumble, but who knows what that's going to lead to. Or you can easily diffuse the situation and stay focused on the actual problem instead of your feelings. So conflict resolution is something that's heavily needed in the black community, because these young people, they just want to shoot everything out. They want to shoot it out. They don't even want to fight. They just want to shoot.
Yeah, but and they always want to resort to some type of violence because they don't know how to communicate and they don't know how to de-escalate. The first sign of somebody looking like they're about to get into it, a crowd starts.
Yeah.
Then once the crowd is around and the phones is out, and then the peanut gallery is making their comments. So now, it's no voice of reason, not to the people who's getting into it, and not from the crowd. So now, instead of something that could have been de-escalated, because if you would have had the right person come when it started, and you remove your friend from it, then you got a whole bunch of people egging it on, boosting it up. Now everybody, the tension is on them, so now everybody got a point to prove. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, instead of, because, and most of the time, people get into things that has nothing to do with them, or it's miscommunication, or it's just because you having a bad day, now everybody you come across is the enemy, and now they need to have a bad day. You know?
Yep.
I used to have a saying. If you say you're going to have a bad day, guess what? You won't have a bad day.
You're going to have a bad day.
You know, it's just that simple. You are who you say you are. You speak things into existence.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. We have to be more mindful of how we treat each other, how we talk to each other, how we handle small little things that we could actually just have talked out instead of freaking out, flipping out, and acting out. You know what I mean?
A lot of times people just need to be able to put themselves in somebody else's shoes. If someone treated you or talked to you or did to you what you were thinking about doing to somebody else or doing to someone else, how would you feel? You know, or if you've been through something and you know how it feels, why inflict that type of pain or hurt, sadness or whatever upon someone else?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And but see, the issue that we're having now in our community, especially our young people, they don't have any empathy. They don't have any sympathy. They don't have any. It's almost to the point where there's no shame, and mm-hmm. There's no chill. There's no breaks. It's just everything is on go, and we need to figure out. And I say start with the young ones, and the real young ones while they're little. Put it in them. You know, we have to teach them good communications and good conflict resolution skills. I struggle with my youngest son. You know, it's like this dude. Every so often, I had to get into a fight at school there. What? Why? Then I got to listen to this cockamamie story. And then I got to get on him about what he did wrong. And I got to teach him what to do right the next time. And then you got to repeat and repeat, repeat. You got to pound it into their heads because we can only do so much at home. And our best hopes is once they walk out the door, they retain what we taught them. And we got to do it for the young people, because I'm all but given up on some of these 16, 17, 18, 19, 20s. They're just, I don't know if it's the perks the people was popping when they was conceiving these kids. I don't know. But some of them just don't care. And we can help the ones that want to be helped, talk to the ones that want to be talked to, but some of them we're just going to have to stay the hell away from them. And we have to embrace the ones who aren't so stressed out. Because let's face it, some of these kids and some of these adults don't want help. They don't think anything's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sitting there fighting, if you've been in more than four fights, and it's only February, it ain't Valentine's Day yet, and you've been more than four fights this year, that ain't normal. And if you only knew who this was coming from, you would know. Because I'm a little touched. I'm an honest person, and I'm a little messed up in the head. I have no problem with that, you know. But I'm not one of these people that don't believe that there's no place in the world for violence, because there is. Self defense, protection.
Mm-hmm.
First is attacking your mom, your husband, your wife. You have to use violence to defend them. I get it, but to just, you know, these flash mobs and all this other nonsense. Where's all this anger? What are these kids so stressed about? Where's the anxiety coming from? I get it, there's going to be some go along to get along, but there's somebody had to start it. Somebody had to come up with this idea. So what's going on with that kid? So it ain't going, time is flying. These 16-year-olds are going to be in their 20s soon. And if they're out here angry at the world, stressed the hell out because of whatever's going on in the household, or what's going on at school, or what's going on in other parts of their world, and no one, they don't have a support system, there's no one talking to them. What do you do? What do you think they're going to become? They're going to be out here tearing these streets up. Which leads to another question. Chrissy. This question is from Chrissy. This is her second time listening to us.
Meet Chrissy.
Yeah. Said the last time she listened to us was for our current event show, but this topic is important to her because she is suffering from a number of social emotional issues. So I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And she, her question is, what should we do when we are starting to identify some symptoms of mental issues with our children?
Professional help, because they have certain type of tests and assessments, so you can be able to trigger what the issue is. The worst thing someone can do is self-diagnose or to diagnose someone else based on their experiences, because it may be something similar but not the exact same thing. Because there's so many different issues someone can have when it comes to mental health. So, for one, seek professional help so they can get diagnosed properly. And then your options, you know. And once you're able to weigh your options and see what can be done about it, go for it. And don't let anybody else make you think any differently about doing it, because you still got some people out there that don't believe in that type of thing. And they're the ones that need it the most, you know. But that's my answer to it. Because then after you see what type of help is out there and what plan is out there, make sure that you're heavily involved in it, so that way you can know what you can do on your end as far as finding out what the triggers are, because they're always triggers, you know. Find out what the issue is, you know, and then what kind of changes you can make, because sometimes it's just simple changes we can make. And also know it's not something that happens overnight. So you can understand what they're going through, so you can help them understand it. And so they can know that you understand them, you know. So it's going
to be a team effort. Yeah, I would definitely contact your primary care, get a referral to a adolescent therapist so they can, you can get your child evaluated. That way they could run a battery of tests, talk to the kid, see what's going on and what it could be. Could be ADHD, could be Asperger's syndrome, could be something else that's on the spectrum of autism. Could be anything. Or it could be that you just said his little ass too much chocolate. You know, because believe it or not, our foods create change in our children. I'll say it again. Our foods create changes in our children. It creates changes in us, too, but we're too far gone. We've been eating McDonald's for most of our lives. But if you keep eating junk food and your kid's eating junk food, you're putting junk food is created from chemicals, processed. Those chemicals go into the body and do different things on a hormonal level. Okay? So if you don't believe me, Google it. Do some research for once. But you most definitely take your kid to a professional to get evaluated. If they say there's nothing wrong, okay, cool, give it a little bit more time. You're still seeing the behavior changes. You go back. You go back, okay, and you double check or go to a different one. For those of you in Philly, my favorite, one of the best ones, the Child Guidance Center down near Chop, if it's still down there. I haven't You know, my kids moved out of Philly. I had no reason to go there anymore. But Child Guidance Center was always good to my son. It's good to other family members that I know, and they were great to other people who I recommended them to. You know, it's definitely those are the kind of places we want to look for, to where a plan can be put in place to help your child at home, in school. And guess what? Sometimes your school will even help you out. You go to the school, you go to your, especially if they're in, if this is happening when they're still in grade school, you know, that's up to sixth, seventh grade or whatever it is. You talk to the counselor, and the counselor will put you in touch with the psychiatrist. And after you talk to the psychiatrist, you tell them, could you please evaluate my son or my daughter? And that's something you want to do in the beginning of the year, because the setup for that, I don't know how it is anywhere else, but in Pennsylvania, the setup for that kind of process takes anywhere from 90 to 120 days. I'm sorry. And I'm speaking off experience, and I'm also speaking from, you know, dealing with friends and family who had to go through the same thing, who helped me get through the situation. So yeah, you definitely want to get your child in front of a therapist, a professional who can help them at least diagnose what the problem is. Because if you don't know, how can you help? How can you help?
Right. And let me just add to that real quick.
Good.
And if you have to put your child in some type of counseling or something like that, it's also a good idea to not only have that child do individual, but to do it as a family as well, especially if they have siblings and stuff. So everybody could be on the same page, you understand, you know.
Yep.
It's not just send that child, because you kind of want to know, or that child might have a hard time expressing certain things to you for whatever reason, that you want to make sure that person over that line of communication is there, because it's different from saying it and actually, you know, them knowing that they can do it.
Yep. Real quick, Queen, we got about 2 minutes. Can can we give a couple quick answers?
Okay.
I have like 4 questions about stress and relationships, and what's the best way for people to save their damn minds when they're having stressful relationships.
Okay, communication, talk about it, come up with some solutions. If you've tried everything that you could have tried and it's not working, then it's time for you to just remove yourself.
Yeah, communications. And talk it out until all the information is out on the table. They put a plan of action together. Okay, how do we stop this problem that we're having from happening? How do we fix it? You know, it starts with that connection and communicating through the problems, because if you don't, then you're asking for more problems. If you don't know, you can't fix it.
Right.
All right, Queen. That time.
Okay. All right. We have to do this again. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. Thanks for your questions. I love doing these shows. These shows is very important. So just we're going to follow up and do another show. I want to thank my co-host, Mr. Hakim Nuba, for being able to be open, as well as with me being open to be able to help people. You know, thanks for the support, because you guys are always there. Any last words before I, you know, sign off, Hakim?
Yeah, talk, get help, talk to each other, find someone you can communicate with that's going to help you. That's the golden rule. Get help.
Mm-hmm.
And calm your asses down.
Mental health is really important. Mental health is just as important as your physical health as well. So keep that in mind. Till next time, that's our show for the night. Thanks for tuning in. Till next time, good night, everybody.
Peace, y'all.